Marijuana is the bomb.
Everybody, you join me, BB, for episode 31 of BB's Bungalow on the dopefiend.co.uk podcast network, and you were just listening then to a remix of a track by Massive Attack called Psyche, and that was sent in by Mythical. Cheers, mate. Well, this month it's a busy one as the weather slowly cools down here in Melbourne and the promise of a fruitful shroom season is ahead of us. But also coming up next month will be 420, and of course dope stock. Sadly, I won't be able to make it across to Amsterdam this year to join you all, thanks to my new mortgage, but I'll be there with you all in spirit. Or vapor, even. Well, I'll be waiting with bated breath for all the live episodes from the activities over in Amsterdam, like the canal boat cruise, dope stock at the Cannabis College, as well as all the various coffee shop crawls which are being planned. Remember, there's still time to book your airfares and accommodation. Get along to the growreport.com forums for more information on the various dope stock activities or information on accommodation. Well, a bit closer to home, the Nimbin Mardi Gras is on May 1st and 2nd, 2010. So if you're interested in going, again, make sure to book your accommodation as soon as possible because many of the places are already booked out. If you are planning on going, drop me an email. I might be able to connect you up with some other dope drivers who are attending. You can find out more information about Mardi Gras from www.nimbinmardigras.com. If all goes well, we may even hear some live recordings from the presentations and events at the Mardi Gras, so fingers crossed. Well, this month at the Bungalow, we've got loads of great music and another great interview for you featuring the one and only Iolite Knight and Niall. We met up recently for an Iolite taste test session and decided to not only test our Iolites, but do some beer tasting as well, and also to test drive some glass beads in the Iolite. Now, the interview is a little long, so I'll be presenting it in two parts. So this month we'll be listening to the first half, where we discuss our Iolite tips. We talk about humans' connections with the plant teachers, and of course we see how much vapor we can really get from these glass beads. Also coming up, we'll be treated to some hand-picked world music selections from Tiriki to Toka for you to chill out to with your favourite herb. This month, the spotlight will be on Australian world music. But first, let's have a listen to local Melbourne artist Rosie Burgess with her track Dollars and Cents, which can be downloaded for free, along with some of her other tracks from her website, www.rosieburgess.com. I'll pop a link on this month's show notes. So, well, I'm going to go fire up the Iolite vaporizer, as you can hear. So stay tuned as we settle in for some chill out time at BB's Bungalow on the dopefiend.co.uk podcast network.
I've been around the world a couple of times and no one's really got it right. We all fight, we're all at war. No one seems to know what for. And I'd say the biggest damn mess is just how people can't care less. It's the age of carelessness and it gets me down. Cause right now it's all dollars and cents. And I don't care much for either of them. Long as I'm still breathing, I'm okay. And if it all hits the fan, I'm gonna stick out my hand. I'm gonna wave somebody down. And I'm gonna leave town. Eating pizzas and sparrows eating chips. I seen humans eating fat-free crap, so it won't go to their hips. They took the GMOPs away cause they were making people sick. What kind of world we living in? What kind of existence is this? Yeah, right now it's all dollars and cents. And I don't care much for either of them. As long as I'm still breathing, I'm okay. And if it all hits the fan, I'm gonna stick out my hand. Wave somebody down. I'm gonna leave town. So this just in, the cost of living just went up. Cause enough is never enough. We all just want more stuff. And the world is caving in underneath piles of junk. And the little bower bird has got nothing on us. Yeah, right now it's all dollars and cents. And
either of them. Long as I'm still breathing, I'm okay. And if the shit hits the fan, I'm gonna stick out my hand. I'm gonna wave somebody down, and I'm gonna leave town. It's all dollars and cents, and I don't care much for either of them. Long as I'm still breathing, I'm okay. And if the shit hits the fan, I'm gonna stick out my hand. I'm gonna wave somebody down, and I'm gonna leave town.
This is Pothead, and you're listening to BB's Bungalow on the DopeFiend.co.uk network.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the bungalow. I've had to put the eye light away. I'm just getting way too baked, and I'm not concentrating. Well, bear with me now. Shortly we'll be joined by Terry Kitatoka for a slice of world music delights, but first let's have a listen to some emails from you guys. First up, a short but sweet message from James Rock from Brooklyn, who says, I just listened to the podcast for the first time, episode 30. I really liked it, and I'm going to go back and start at one. Blaze on. Thanks, mate. Well, have fun catching up with the episodes. Luckily, there's not hundreds to catch up on, but 30-odd or so, so have fun. Next up, a message from closer to home from a listener called Kiweed, who writes, Hi, Black Beauty. I just stumbled over your podcast after downloading to my iPod and was very surprised that it has Melbourne content. I live in Melbourne and also have an interest in the wonderful shroom. Recently, I tried growing some in my back garden, but they are yet to materialise from the cow manure purchased at Bunnings. Anyway, I heard you saying that April, May and June are the best times to go hunting for shrooms. I would be keen to get some pointers to the best places so I finally get my hands on some after many years away from the little mushies. Anyway, keep up the great work. Love your podcast, Kiweed. Well, thanks, Kiweed, and I love your nickname, by the way. Sounds like the shrooms are calling back to you again, mate. And on your question about growing, well, I've never been able to grow active shrooms myself, although I know that the guys over at the Shroom with a View podcast may be able to give you some tips on it. So, yeah, I'll invite one of those guys to provide you with some information and tips and see what they say. But I can certainly give you some tips on the local shroom hunting, although please know I'm no expert. I've only gone maybe half a dozen times in the last 2 years, but the best way to find shrooms I found is just to learn about their habitats, and then you start to recognise the typical places they grow. I think I was actually talking about that with Iolite Knight and Niall during our interview. But as for the time of the year, yeah, anywhere between late April through to June and sometimes beyond that. In fact, last year some of my favourite spots were still fruiting into August. Basically what you're looking for though is wet weather, high humidity and cold nights with frost. And Melbourne is great for all of those, especially yeah, around late autumn, early winter. Anyway, I'd be happy to keep you updated on my own hunting efforts. In fact, better still, I'll send you a link to the Melbourne mushroom hunting and identification thread from last year. You can start learning by just looking at the pics and the habitat shots that others have posted up. I'll also pop a link to that on this podcast show notes as well. Well, next up, an important message from Ben. And my apologies, Ben, if I'm only getting to this email now, but I figured I would share it anyway because it contains information which could be useful for fellow Aussies out there who'd like to get involved in ending marijuana prohibition. And Ben says, Hi, BB, I just wanted to get this information out if possible. March is time to vote for South Australians, and I just wanted to remind all the stoners out there about Hemp SA, or Help End Marijuana Prohibition, South Australia. Hemp SA is a political party based in South Australia, committed to the legalisation of cannabis in its many forms and for its many uses. Cannabis has been in use for thousands of years by humans for all things ranging from clothes to relaxation to religion to medicine, but yet it is a family of plants that the modern world, for the most part, doesn't understand. Up until the 20th century, there was little to no regulation on marijuana at all. It was only after unfounded propaganda campaigns started in the 1920s and 30s that the tide of public opinion began to shift, not due to science or actuality, but fear. It has been this totally baseless fear that has been built on ever since, culminating in the current climate, whereby, despite a huge consumer base and monumental economic and social potential, the users and producers of cannabis products are persecuted for using a largely harmless natural substance, which is, and will continue to be, part of human history. According to the latest survey conducted in 2007 by Drug and Alcohol Services South Australia, 10.2% of South Australians admitted to using marijuana that year, and over 30% admitted to being a marijuana user at some point in their life. Using an index of only those brave enough to come forward to a governmental agency, the numbers of people in the state who consume cannabis are still well over 160,000, and often these consumers were forced to go to dealers of hard drugs and gang members in order to do so. This not only associates cannabis with hard drugs, sometimes leading to later consumption of such drugs, but it gives huge profits to criminal growers. The price is only set where it is due to the underground production and inflamed profits to account for criminal risk. In this black market, there can be no regulation and no taxation. But if this market were to become legitimate, that would mean the massive markup the product had previously undergone could be replaced by taxation, and it would still prove cheaper for the consumer. Not only would the sale be taxed, but also the incomes of the thousands of people that the new industry would employ, instead of the current situation of huge amounts of undeclared income, which often ends up in the hands of bikies. The South Australian government has the opportunity to increase their spending budget by literally millions and millions of dollars, not only earning through taxation of marijuana, which due to mass production will have a greatly reduced price, but also because money previously spent oppressing marijuana users and fighting the crime prohibition causes can be spent elsewhere. Please join their group and help them out if you can. Don't think we can't make a difference. There are a lot of smokers in Adelaide and regional South Australia. We just need to get the message out and get organised. Peace. Well, thanks for sharing this information, Ben. I'll put a link to the Facebook page on the show notes for this episode. And I'd encourage all the Australian listeners to go and have a look at how they can help with this local hemp movement. That's all the time we have for listeners' emails this month. Please do keep those emails coming, though. Just send me a message to blackbeauty@dopefiend.co.uk or PM me on the growreport.com forums. I would love to hear from you. And next up, Tiri Kitatoka joins us from his Tabla Den to introduce us to two more world music tracks. So welcome back to the bungalow, Tiri Kitatoka.
Thanks, Black Beauty. How are you going?
Yeah, good, good. Good to see you around back at the bungalow. It's becoming a regular thing, which is great.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you.
I've already had good feedback from listeners who are just loving the new music that you're introducing them to do.
Oh, good. Oh, well, I've got some interesting ones today.
Nice one.
And should we kick off with a vape first, though? I've got my volcano ready in hand. Did you pack your eye light?
Great idea. I've got my eye light. Yep. Right. It's ready to go. Nice one. What have you been vaping at recently?
Well, I get this same stuff every week, pretty much. It's from the northern New South Wales area. It's a lot of the stuff we get around here. And it's, yeah, very tasty and very well grown. I don't know any names. It doesn't happen at him very much.
It doesn't matter too much, though, the names I found. Names are overrated.
From what I've heard, it could mean nothing. It can different.
Exactly.
You can have the same name and it's completely different. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And who's to say that no one just, you know, makes up these names and passes them along?
Yes. All right, well, I'm going to go down with this one.
All right.
Bon Bolinat.
Bon Bolinat.
Mmm. I've got a new mic this week, so I sound completely different, yeah?
You do. The sound quality's really improved,
yeah,
actually.
My friend was laughing at me. He said, because I said, the mic I recorded on last time is so noisy for talking on Skype. He goes, oh, so you got a studio mic. But I've got this strange delay in my ear of my own voice, so sometimes I'm tripping over my own words. Feels a bit weird.
Tripping's all good around here.
Yes.
Now, Terakitta Toka, as we both continue vaping away, do you want to tell us a little bit about these world music gems that you've got in store for us this month?
Yeah, well, on Friday I went to see this band called Jan Jan, which is Mamadou Diabate. He's a master kora player from Mali.
Remind me what a kora is again.
Kora is an African harp.
Oh.
There's a big gourd on the bottom, really like 60 centimetres wide, covered with a skin. And then there's a big stick, neck, coming up, and all the strings coming down in two columns, left and right side, to the gourd. And then there's handles to hold, and then they play with their fingers, like off those handles, on, like a double harp.
Sounds a bit like a sarangi almost.
No. Sarangi is bowed.
Ah, I see.
This is like plucked, and you'll hear it. It's a very harpy sound, with many notes very rapidly. He was amazing.
Wow.
And he got together with Bobby Singh, who's a very famous tabla player in Australia. He lives in Sydney. And Jeff Lang, who's a slide guitar blues singer-songwriter from Sydney, I think, as well. Yeah, they had a really nice sound. So I went to see them at Judith Wright Centre. I was sitting up the back and had my eye light going. It was very cruisy music.
Beautiful.
And they had a song called Spirit of Melbourne. I got the CD and I saw that title and I thought of you, so I thought, let's have a listen to that one. Thank you.
awesome. Yeah, that was an awesome track as well. Is that... sorry. I'm just so baked at the moment. Just cut that bit out too. Oh, God damn it. Now, what was I going to... I was going to ask you a question, though. Okay, let me start again with that bit.
Yeah.
Alright, and welcome back to the bungalow, and I'm getting very eye-lighted and vaped here, Terry Kotoka. I'm losing all trains of thought here, so tell me, what was that last track that we just listened to?
So, I thought we'd do an Australian world music theme today, and so the first band we heard was from Australia, or a collaboration within Australia, and then the one we just heard was called Terika, which is a Tibetan singer, Tenzin Chergyal, who works with me in Tibet to Timbuktu. Mm. It's his previous collaborative project, which was with a saxophone player, River Patin, and a cello player, Catherine Philp. So it was bringing together this jazz and classical and Tibetan music, really beautiful. And River put together the CD, the saxophone player. It was a double CD, and one CD is called Acoustica. It's the group playing music live, and the second CD was called Electronica, which he produced with the sounds of the musicians in the project. And so that track we just heard was called 1110 from the Electronica CD.
Now, that was a really, really great track. I really enjoyed that. Terika Kotoka, I just had a question, though. What makes Australian world music, in your opinion, Australian?
Well, it comes from Australia, that's the first thing. And the thing we've got in Australia, it's also in all the Western countries of the world with the big immigrant population, America, UK, Germany, all around Europe. But somehow Australia, I guess the thing here is that the white culture is also very young. We only came here 200 years ago, and we're very kind of disconnected from our cultural homeland. And we're stuck here in this big wide country, which is the existing culture was Aboriginal. They've been here so many thousands of years, and then this like a newborn baby culture appears, which suddenly gets mixed up with Chinese and then Greeks and Vietnamese and Indian and people from everywhere. Like even in America, that's also happened, and they've got great world music there too. It's just got a different flavor, I guess. I feel Australian music, world music, is very fresh. We're having a dialogue together and just playing music together. And finding a new music that we're creating together, creating a culture together. I have a Turkish friend, Feridun. He's an amazing singer, and he exclaimed one time in the middle of a jam, "Yes, let's keep playing. We're creating a culture here."
That's great.
Yeah,
I think that's true. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I'm so glad, and I feel so privileged to like be able to listen to not only this music, but even your own music with Tibet to Timbuktu, and hearing you play here at the bungalow. It's here in Australia. We've got all of this, like a new culture, a new mixture of cultures right here on our doorstep. So yeah, thank you.
And we're doing it reasonably harmoniously most of the time, I think. There's a lot of problems all around the world and cultures are side by side. But hopefully through music and we create a positive example of living together.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, if listeners want to get in touch with you or, get a hold of some of this world music that you have, how would they do that?
Wanted to quickly mention also, Niall requested Sarangi, right?
Yeah.
So I was going to put the backing track, which we're listening to now, this Sarangi recording that from the concert I did last year, which we briefly played last year, I think, on the bungalow. And that you can get through ethnosuperlounge.com. Mm-hmm. But the tracks we played today, Janjan, Looks like the website is topshelf.com.au. Mm-hmm. That might be their management company. And Terrica, they've got a website, terricamusic.com.
Oh, all right, no worries. I'll make sure I put those links on the show notes as well. So that's great. Well, Terry Kitatoka, thanks for joining us again this month. Hopefully we can have more of a chat next month as well and have a look at your next region.
Yeah, where will we go next?
Yes. And how do listeners get in contact with you? They might have a request for a region. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I'm on the forums, Terry Kitatoka, at... on the Grow Report forums. Probably PM me there is the best way at first.
Yeah.
Maybe we could start a sub-thread in the bungalow forum.
For sure, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep. Next up, we'll be joined by Niall and Iolite Knight, but first, let's listen to some comedy. This one from Darcy Michael, and you're chilling at BB's Bungalow on the dopefiend.co.uk podcast network.
I don't know if you guys saw this in the paper a few weeks ago about how the RCMP is trying to crack down on stone drivers, because apparently there's something unsafe about driving 10 kilometers an hour and signaling people off the side. Not to mention you're already convinced every car in your rear view is a cop, right? That's not just me, is it? Anytime I'm driving my car at night, if I look in the rear view and see a car with two headlights, instantly I'm like, oh shit, act casual. Remember, you're not seven, it's not cool to wave to cops, don't fucking wave. You are not gonna wave this time. Oh my god. Oh shit, we're waving. Meanwhile, the cops are like, is that stoner fucking waving at us again? Should we pull him over? Nah, let's just follow him for a while. What they said in this article is they're going to train the cops in behavioral science. So if they think you're stoned, they're going to pull you over and use these tricky little techniques to bust you. Basically, they're going to walk up to you and throw down a bag of Cheetos, a Snickers, and a pickle. If you pick up all three, you're going to jail. That's fucking entrapment. I'd be like, fuck it, man. Take me to jail. I got snacks. I'm good to go. They also said in this article, if you smoke pot once, you're impaired for 24 hours. If that's the case, how come I gotta smoke another one after like 20 minutes? Fuck it, man. You can take my car. Give me some of that 24-hour weed y'all talking about.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Bungalow. You're here with Iolite Knight and Niall. Hey guys.
Hey guys.
So it's such a nice day in Melbourne today and we're Iolite-ing in a pub. Are we in a pub?
We're in a pub. It looks like a church, but...
You should see this place, guys, because the weather's really, really nice in Melbourne today. It's been quite a warm one considering we've had all these big storms and stuff recently, but we're in a pub with lots of trays on the wall of all different...
Oh, I didn't even notice then. Oh, look, there's a fucking moose up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Check the moose out. The moose is smoking a joint.
Okay.
What the hell's going on
with that? He's got has anyone ever tried to climb up there? Sunglasses.
The joint actually looks like it's got shit in it.
Someone's rolled it.
It's probably about, 8 foot over the ground? Oh, I'm really bad with measurements and stuff, but how tall is that up? Or metres?
You could get on Niles' shoulders and I reckon you could pull that down.
I reckon if we piggyback to each other,
we'd get tackled before we left, though.
We could grab the joint out of there.
That faces the front corner of the bar, so I know where that is.
So basically, we're having a bit of a vape fest here, about to do a bit of a taste test on three Iolites. We've got a black Iolite here, the purple one and the pink one. But before we fire them up and see what's in them, Iolite Knight, you tried the Volcano for the first time.
Yeah, first go today.
What'd you think?
It's, like I said before, it's not that dissimilar to the Iolite as far as taste, intensity. I think, because, what did you crank that up to, 190?
180 to begin with.
Yeah.
And it was not much in there. It was probably 0.2 or
you get the flavor,
0.3 grams or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 180 degrees to start with, and then you got one bag of that. Then I cranked up to 200, and then another bag of that.
Okay, so it's 10 degrees higher than the Iolite.
190
the Iolite. Yeah, but good.
I reckon it's hotter though. I reckon it's hotter than 190.
It did. It just got to the point where I was starting to get the tickle in the back of the throat.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're up at about 190, I reckon.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
the Iolite's really cranking, it tickles.
Yeah, yeah.
So that second bag had that. Uh-huh. Yeah,
and if
little
you
bit
if
of
you
tickle.
If you breathe in a certain way, I reckon it can affect the Iolite's temperature over time.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if you breathe in a lot, it's going to cool it down, and if you breathe in slowly and
slow.
Yeah, infrequently.
And obviously
yeah.
both of you vape fiends know that depending on the way that you maybe inhale it or exhale it, it has a different effect too. Yeah. Do you find that?
I don't actually.
How do you?
Like, I think, you know, when you're smoking, you kind of tend to hold it in longer or as long as you can. With vaporising, I don't think it makes any difference. You know, hold it in, but at the end of the day, for me personally, you know, I get just as stoned just letting it out as... You know,
yeah.
as
what about you, Niall?
Well, I've had the pleasure of... a lovely girl inhaling and then exhaling into my mouth in a kiss.
Oh, you're a lucky bastard, aren't
very
you?
Very lovely. And
all the listeners out there are just going,
yeah, yeah.
lucky.
With
I think this has just gone up another rate.
There'll be another show on that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We have to put explicit on it.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
So tell us what happened there.
Well,
and
we're
the effect
vaporizing,
was?
Yeah. We're vaporizing. My theory is that when you're vaporizing, the... What do you say? Like the lungs get saturated. There's so much more... the THC in a single toke compared to a joint or something else. That was my gut feel. And when she exhaled, yeah, I definitely got high. Mm. So like we actually waited for a while and stuff. So
wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It did, like yeah, I reckon not hold your breath in for as long, but I always hold my breath in and then exhale out my nose, and then that gets rid of the tickle, but also I guess more surface area in case there's something left.
I do the same thing, exhale out through the nose, because I think Pete21 on the forums, he said that, and ever since then I've done it, and it definitely has a different effect. I just feel like I'm losing a lot of potent vapour if I just breathe it out through my mouth.
Yeah.
But
if
through
you do
the nose,
it through the
it's
nose,
meant to be more calming, like as in yoga.
Yeah.
Stuff,
oh, yeah.
So they always breathe out through the nose.
Like a cycle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In through the mouth, out through
down,
the nose.
And you really, I guess you absorb it.
Well, we used to smoke bongs out the back of my friend's place, and he'd just say, you know, you go into a coughing fit, it's like the second or third time you've ever tried it.
Mm.
And he'd explain, oh, no, just breathe through your nose, exhale through your nose. I tried it, I was like, oh my God, I'm not coughing anymore, everything's fine. Yeah.
But Xandor coughs with a bag. You hear him cough when he's bagging.
Oh, right, yeah.
He sounds like he's in a rough shape at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh,
hang in
Xandor.
There, Xandor.
Hope you're right, Xandor. I'm sure Mr. Z is looking after you really well.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of the Xandors...
it's like a soap opera around here, the Dopamine Network, isn't it?
But this is my theory, this continued conversation in time and space, like you said, shroom space. Yeah,
and we like theories.
Because can we talk a little bit about that theory? Because I feel like we're almost back there again now.
Yep.
When we were in shroom spaces, I was shrieking. It felt like I was in a place where I could record something for the podcast, which is why I managed to work out how to use my audio recorder and press record. I felt like I could leave a message for myself in shroom space. I don't know if
like,
I was saying
it was like
that.
Virtual sort of voicemail. Like Dopamine Skype voicemail box, but it's like a communal group one.
And it's almost like at that point in time when I was in shroom space, I was thinking about things like the last time I was in shroom space, I watched a movie that, when we're in the house with all the kids and they can't go beyond this fairy ring circle of mushrooms.
Yeah.
And
I wanted to see it when I saw the trailer, and my wife said, no, that's
Spiderwick Chronicles.
Yeah.
It's very adult, but when I got to, it's quite scary if you're a kid. Don't see it if you're a kid.
Yeah.
Too bloody scary. But it got to the very, very end and the credits were rolling. And it was like a ultraviolet picture of the house that's in the movie. And it was kind of zooming down like a plane banking into the garden. And it was showing all these blue mushrooms ringing around the house. And because I was on shrooms, I went, oh, some movies are made for this space. Like,
yeah.
for this space where I am at in my head at the moment, Shroom Space. And I started to think, hang on, how much actually literature, media, music, videos out there are not for straight people, like they're better to be enjoyed under the influence.
The creative people of every society.
Surely they'd put something out there that you can reconnect with. And we're talking about that as well, like reconnecting with Shroom Space. It feels like a very familiar area to be when you're back there.
Yeah. Because that altering of perception, suddenly it feels like you're in like this ethereal realm or something, like fairyland or something shifted. And it just made me think, time and space won't matter, that you can leave messages on your voice recorder on podcast shows, it's like a medium of continued, conversation. Yeah. Like you'd have a conversation with, Xander or Dopey or whatever over like a year. Everyone could record and comment on topics and stuff.
Which is kind of what we already do now because someone will say something on their podcast and then we'll respond to it.
And someone refers to it, it's
later on.
I've just realised
was that from the Isolite or the volcano? Yeah. Can we do that taste test?
Is it the Isolite? Is it the volcano? Is it the cider? Is it the beer? Is it the grog?
Yes, we're enjoying some ciders too. We're having some pear cider, some apple cider. Isn't that a bit of a pommy thing? Shout out to all the poms out there having a drink of cider. We don't drink cider in Australia, right? We just drink beer.
I'll drink.
Some cider. So we got a beer test as well as an Isolite test.
Yes.
So Matilda Bay Alpha Pale Ale.
That's multitasking.
Green, hoppy, fresh beer. Yep. And then Three Ravens, 55 American Pale Ale, which is, I don't know if you guys have tried it, but it's...
Well, for the beer and weed tasting that we're about to do, I think we should...
Have a sniff and a taste.
All right, this is the Three Ravens.
It's a different type of hop. I think it's called Amarillo, American variety of hops. Mm. And it's just,
It tastes like an ale, but it's got all those flavours in it. Like the Hoegaardens have the very aromatic bit of, like those Belgian Hoegaarden style ones almost. Yep.
It's a lot more cloudier.
It is.
Than the Alpha.
Yep. But and like hops are the closest relative of cannabis, and they've got the same aromatic oils, similar molecular structures in the plant, so they make all their bittering acids and all that stuff. Mm. And it grows pretty much like cannabis.
It's good to make a little pillow out of hops, and put it under your pillow and helps you sleep.
Yep. Fresh cannabis does the same. That relaxing. Those sedatory, volatile.
I don't think it'd stay under my pillow long enough.
Wake up and it's all gone.
Switzerland, where they got around the law because they were selling them as aromatherapy pillows. They give you like a little 5-10 gram bag and a pin, or they instruct you to poke holes in it with the pin and put it in your sock drawer or under your pillow or whatever. Just those vapors to help you sleep.
So, can we do the taste test then?
Right. I kept interrupting,
not at all. So, which Isolite are we going to use here?
What was in that? What's in the purple?
We haven't tried this
yet. That's Mr. Sparkles.
Yes.
Hi, Mr. Sparkles.
Yeah, Mr. Sparkle delivered in very hard times in Australia at the moment.
Thank you, Mr. Sparkles.
And this is Mr. Sparkles with weed beans.
Weed beans. That's a new term.
We need a glossary at Dope Fiend. We've got Vapo Poop.
Yeah.
Now we've got weed beads.
Weed beads. Tell us about those weed beads.
No, I tried them straight after I heard Dope Fiend's session talking about
And what are they? They are
little glass beads. Like I make sun catchers, so I've got, bucket loads. Yeah, so I don't know, probably half a dozen to eight. In a chamber of herb, and you get vapor nearly right from the first cycle, which you don't without them. You go through it quicker, so it's good if you're in a hurry. But I've used it, every time I've used my Isolite since I heard that podcast, it's had weed beads in it.
Oh.
Now, I can't give them up now because they're really good.
So tell us some tips about the weed beads. I mean, we're gonna test it out now and see what it feels like, because. No, you haven't tried weed beads either.
So what does it do? It
heats. It seems to heat more evenly.
Let's give it a go.
All right. So this is Mr. Sparkles with the weed beads.
Mr. Sparkles.
Yeah, it's got a nice taste.
Some activity behind this.
Yeah.
Yes, there is some activity.
Pub's very busy tonight.
And we're sitting here with loaded Isolites.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Yeah, so they need a locking mechanism. I just almost lost it then. Yeah.
Because even when Justine first got hers, it was quite loose. So even you just kind of do that, it'll just fall out of its own accord.
They need to get dirty. They need to get bits of herb caught in it and a little bit of resin, and they stick.
Which isn't good though, because just after you clean it. What about just after you clean it? It's all going to be,
Up in the mountains, far from everywhere, nestled in a valley where the clouds disappear. Marijuana grows her children with so much care. Where the cold wind blows and no man truly knows of the wisdom. Oh, the wisdom and the courage that she shows. Marijuana, marijuana, you show your children you truly, truly care. When all is gone, you're not going anywhere, yeah. Marijuana, marijuana, though some people may try to fight you down, you spread love and joy all around, yeah. Them chop you up, them break you down, them light a fire, but the smoke is still around. Marijuana, the smoke is still around, yeah. Some intellects may say, when you're going blind, marijuana can lead the way. Marijuana, always there to save the day, yeah. Marijuana, marijuana, you show your children you truly, truly care. When all is gone, you're not going anywhere.
If you see my eyes red like blood, my people just become, don't be afraid. If you see smoke coming through my nose, I just put some food in my brain. If you tell you fly high like the plane, who do you think said that I'm insane? The one your Babylon can't sustain, I'm just like that old picture frame. I'm a herbalist farmer, I'm doing some cultivation around the corner. I'm a herbalist farmer, I got the medication to keep you calm. I'm a herbalist farmer, you know, say that Jehovah is my shield and my armor. I'm a herbalist farmer. Wanna tell me what's
give it a go,
Niall,
and let us know.
It just burns hotter, does it?
I think it aerates it a lot more. So you get better airflow. It comes to temperature much quicker and it retains the temperature longer. It's just a little bit more intense. People were worried about the hassle of separating the beads. I just put into a little Pyrex bowl, swirl it around like you're panning for gold, and tip it up, and then the beads come down. No drama, because I save all my vapo poo. There's been a lot of talk on the forums about that recently, saving it, and some people are saying to throw it out. But out of respect for the plant, I could never throw it out.
What do you do with it in the moment?
Throw it into a tincture.
And when you cook, do you cook it into a butter?
That's what I've been doing. Or I have been putting it in pasta as well.
Just sprinkling it in, like you would marjoram or something?
Just add it in as it's cooking. Just near the end.
Nice.
It gives it a toasty flavour.
That's
all
right.
That's the other thing. It's very, very fine powder when it comes out. We'll tip it out on the bench here when we're finished, and you'll see it's just very, very powdery. Whereas the other way, it still retains its structure. Whereas with the beads, I think it totally breaks the plant down into a powder, so you get every last bit out of it. And then in the bowl, you just kind of swirl it around like you're panning for gold. And then you tip it up and the beads roll down because they're heavy. The vapor poop stays up top.
You
just pull them out. I count how many I've got. The only other thing that worries me, if you suck it back too hard, that you can suck one up maybe.
Oh, really?
Someone was talking about if you had a hole in your filter, which I doubt would happen.
Yeah, I guess you could,
But you'd be getting herbal into anyway.
It tastes a lot stronger. Like, there's a lot more vapor.
Nearly first cycle it starts kicking up.
Try that one again.
So, powderizes it kind of.
Mm.
That's interesting.
Because I think it just superheats it.
Yeah.
And because it holds the heat, and then the herb sits on the glass.
Yeah.
So it cooks it more individually.
Yep. It's more like localized.
Yeah. When you're making beef bourguignon, you've got to brown the meat.
Yeah.
And you've got to dry it first, and you've got to brown the meat separate. Don't let it touch. You don't want it to stew. And this is like, it doesn't stew it. Really vaporizes.
That's a really good analogy.
Yeah. I just watched Julie and Julia recently, and Meryl Streep. I loved that movie. It was so good.
I have to say, I've got it. I haven't watched it yet.
It was good.
Is it a chick flick?
It's a chick flick.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But it's funny.
Don't really watch chick
flicks. My wife asked me to download it.
So of course.
Makes you want to go out and start cooking French straight away.
Oh, I see. French. I'd cook a Frenchman. Oh, sorry. Heaps, man.
Yeah.
There's heaps and heaps of vape.
Lots.
It's really good. Are you going to
try? Yeah.
Nice.
Does it so much quicker?
Yep. Yeah. We're testing out the stealthiness of having three Iolites in a public place here, so forgive us if we go quiet now and then. But,
I think the worst thing to do is to worry.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think if you just
act normal,
move with it and be open about it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
When I say be open, like try not to do movements which... where you're trying to hide it or anything. Yeah. You just move with it normally as if it was a mobile phone or an iPod or a drink.
Yeah, yeah.
You should be right. But,
I was definitely stronger.
Yeah.
And I'm still exhaling after.
Mm. Yeah, it takes a while, doesn't it? There's so a lot of vapour.
Yeah, like a heavy mist in the lungs rather than a light vapour. Yeah.
And Dope Fiend, I think, only tried it once when I like sent him the beads. Oh, tried it that once and that's all.
And he's gone for a tolerance break now.
Yeah. He should try. He should christen his break.
Yeah,
if he hasn't already.
Idea. That's a good idea.
With some beads.
There you go, Dope Fiend. There's a suggestion for you to break the drought.
Wow. Yep. I'm just comparing temperatures because, yeah. Because that'll change the thermal efficiency of the device.
So, it's a lot more efficient.
Yeah, yeah.
And I reckon you can vary it depending on the amount of
beads.
And the diameter of the beads.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be good to have a little drop-in bag or something so you could easily pick them out and put them back in. Like spices. I love French cooking.
Yeah, yeah. I think Dope Fiend was theorising that like they're just giving you some thermal mass now to try it out to see if so many micrograms or grams of something will do something. Mm. And I think he's saying that they probably will adapt to the bowl or do something different because of what we learn. And it's definitely, like hotter and quicker.
He was talking about having like something permanent inside the chamber, but that, imagine cleaning it.
Yeah,
whereas this way, keep it simple. This is so simple. You can just chuck the beads out. They're not expensive.
What they should do, and they can use this, no claim of thought to it. Your heat pin is...
Whose intellectual property is it?
Everyone's. Everyone can share. Creative Commons, the most permissible license whatsoever.
Yeah, just make it for us.
Yeah, yeah. So your heat pin's in the bottom bowl section. Your crucible falls down over the top. What they should do is inside the crucible have a couple of other pins that just act as a heat sink, like a heat reservoir. So they could just introduce more prongs and you'd basically, like a grinder, you'd pinch into the bud so it's all quite evenly distributed.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had like a big block pushing down, it would squish it or something. So yeah, they probably just need to figure out how many grams or whatever of mass they need to enter. And you could even have a dial. You could control it with a little wheel here to turn up or turn down the height of these little prongs. It's true.
I just realised that I was exhaling about half the vapour and I was sitting in an absolute cloud of vapour.
I didn't even notice
And so I quickly inhaled again.
Is that Queer Ninja appearing in the vortex?
Is that Queer Ninja? Queer Ninja's in the vortex. This is a freaking massive vortex with a glass bead. It's a wee bead vortex. That's pretty damn good. Thanks, Island Knight. It's good.
Thanks, Dope Fiend.
Thanks, Eyelight.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what size the beads were that Oglesby and Butler sent to Dope Fiend?
I was a bit confused. Because he did, Dope Fiend mentioned it on the podcast, and he said about 3 millimetres.
Yeah.
So I put some 3 millimetre beads in. I've got 3 millimetres, and they were massive.
Yeah, yeah.
They're, massive balls.
Yeah.
So I put some little ones in.
Dope Fiend's got some massive balls.
Yeah, so
well, perhaps
I don't know,
a man should have,
So tell us more about your balls, Highlighter.
Yeah, my balls are hot.
The cider is really strong.
Yeah.
No, it's
not the cider, guys.
It's the weed beads.
No, anyway.
We're surrounded.
I like this weed beads.
You can hear them rattle
as
they dry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When you...
I want to know what size to get, though. Or can I get a mixture and then put
give
a little
you
bit
some.
More? Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You can even take these ones with you when you're in there.
No way.
Got heaps of
thank you. Yeah. Really?
And that's just the right amount.
That's pretty damn awesome.
So, I have
thank
not stopped
that.
Using them. I've still got vape coming out. That's cycled about how many times? Over a dozen times? I think I've had 4 hits.
But usually, if you don't have the weed beads in it, vapor only lasts for maybe 3 hits.
Yeah.
The vapor. This
is still thick.
How many hits are we at? Like probably 9, 10. Still thick vapor.
You're right.
Oh yeah.
it's definitely an improvement. Yeah. Because it tasted very strong to me. It reminded me of the volcano at the higher temperature. That catch, throat catch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that it had been on for ages when I had some.
And two, Mr. Sparkle's different. Mr. Sparkle creeps up and it's like he comes up behind you and puts a bag over your head and you don't know what's going on.
We love Mr. Sparkles.
Like last night, I tried it and I had to dry it. I had to wait 2 hours.
Yeah, I do wait 2 hours at least, yeah. That's one thing, like, I never drink or drive, although I've almost been caught in a few times. But, I just decide I'm not going to smoke while I drive. I don't know why, like, probably be fine, and, statistically, you probably are. But,
but legally, it's just not worth it.
What happens here if you're caught?
I don't know, it sounds like they're pretty hard. It's just like, driving over 0.05 or maybe even harsher than that.
Well, that's a bit harsh.
Yeah.
I mean...
And especially when there's been no research done in Australia.
There's nothing whatsoever to say definitively it's worse or better. It's kind of trending towards better, like... You know, statistically, you're a couple of percent better than the normal population, the control population.
That's like, I guess the problems they have in America, with stuff like Vicodin. If you've ever had that or, anything similar. But it's totally legal to drive. You can drive while, you're being medicated by your physician and you have no idea who your name is anymore. But, anything else.
America.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That's really hot, even with the long stem on, hey?
It kicks ass.
Interesting.
That's really good.
Because I only had the short stem and just the white plug.
So I never use it
and
short.
That's been going for ages. It's fucking hot. Heaps of exhalation.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Which, it's working a little bit over time, though,
yeah,
would you think? But it's handling the load, all right?
I don't know. Like, it's been a while since I've held the Iolite.
In my arms.
I usually just put it down. So I never.
And don't forget, this is a later model than what you guys have. So maybe they've tweaked the ignition, the heaters in it.
Yep.
So what about you guys? Let's have some tips about the Iolite. When you use it, do you have? What are your tips on where to put it when you're having a break?
I have a really good tip. On a break, just down on its side on a table. But when you hold it, that's my hold. And your thumb gets hot, but nothing else gets hot, and you don't.
Okay, so your thumb's up near the chamber, closest to the stem.
Yep.
And you're holding it kind of like you'd hold a chocolate bar that you're eating.
Kind of like a mobile phone.
Right.
And your pinky finger underneath the piezo ignition
and
switch.
And the three fingers on.
Yeah, your ring finger you can have on the on-off switch.
Yep.
So if you need to, you can just go click in a pocket. And then, these two fingers wherever you need to go, and you just, balance off the thumb on the bowl, and you've got the mouthpiece down towards you.
Nice.
And that's, everyone keeps talking about, my hand gets so hot, and I swear...
Yeah, why are you holding
it
on the exhaust, though?
Don't hold it on the hot bits. What are you doing? Because if you're holding the fins, you're going to not let the exhaust get out.
Mm.
If you hold it the other way, the exhaust is straight into your face, and it's just like, point the exhaust down away from you, where it can, expel into the air. And then have tokes, and then when it fires up again, it's pointing away, or you can put it down.
Yeah. The problem with putting it down is a lot of people worry that if they put it on a nice surface table or something, it might burn a hole in it. But
I've had nothing burn at my place. It sits on my
wooden
bedside
table. I worry about things maybe melting a little bit from the heat.
I only put it down.
It's
I only leave it.
It's sitting on that sticker. It's balancing on that.
I turn it off.
It's hot.
I don't put it down if I haven't turned it off.
But I'm a stoner. I forget sometimes. I put it down.
If you had like a gloss lost finish, it might mar it and it might lose some fumes.
One suggestion I had that I haven't yet tried is from the podfather himself, Lorenzo, from the Psychedelic Salon. For the record, there's still vapor going. But Lorenzo said he used a metal slinky. Oh. Well, I don't know if it was metal or not, but it was a slinky. You know, those slinkies, those toys. Yeah. He'd set it on the computer in front of him and just put it in there. So it was upright.
I saw that photo,
It's got great air circulation. So I want to get one of those.
Yeah. So that's the...
Oh, sorry, the beer. We completely forgot about testing the beer.
Three Ravens 55 American Pale Ale.
That's tasting fruity as well.
And that's like a husky... was that this one?
No, the Three Ravens.
Oh, the Three Ravens.
The American Pale Ale, the hops they use is really something that we don't get in Australia much.
Yeah, and this is brewed not, 10 kilometres from here.
Yeah, I was really excited when I saw...
How's that? Yes. We're keeping the food miles down.
Yeah. Exactly.
I find that now as well, maybe in my old age, Phoebe, that I'm just thinking a lot more about what I use around me and its effect on not only me, but the environment around me. And
you're
I think psychedelics have made me do that, though, because I never used to bloody care. Yeah, I was going to concrete my bloody house.
You become part of nature, so you look after nature. You're looking after yourself as well.
Yeah.
It's like once your conscience has been tweaked, you can't think of it any other way. You have to be responsible.
We're going to have to
vacate. Yeah, we're getting invaded.
Hang on, let's come back. And I want to talk about more about that and hemp as well. So we'll come on right back.
Thank you.
weed beads have made a real difference.
It's surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I thought it would burn out quicker and then be over, but it's still going.
Yeah.
I don't get it. That's good.
And I think it's the gear as well.
Yeah.
It's good resin gear.
Yeah.
So,
is it moist or dry?
I think it's dry, but it's sticky.
Yeah, okay.
But it's a mix, like it's bits, you know.
Bits of everything, yeah. I reckon that's the best, you know, you've got to find your strain that you like, but always keeping a bit of diversity in there. And, you know, people, you know, talk about tolerance rates
tolerance,
or, or switching strains or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good amount of strength.
Full.
I think it's usually pretty full, Loris. But all of this back here is
still getting
bloody
full.
It's still going.
How long do you reckon it's been going?
I don't know, 25 minutes?
This is absolutely crazy, but we're still getting vapour. All this time later, we've since relocated and come back after some music. It's still giving vapour.
You're pushing half an hour, I reckon.
Half an hour of vapour.
And it's still going. And you're right, it's getting every last drop out of it. That's what it feels like. I always reckon, like, they say it'd stop at 200, because that's when the benzene and other bits start getting, you know, start exhibiting in the gas. Everyone says stop there, but I reckon the sweet spot's probably 10 or 20 degrees higher than 200.
Yeah.
I reckon it's like somewhere there, a little bit smoky.
Okay.
Like, everyone seems to gravitate towards smoke in the end, I reckon.
Yeah.
Or you have really light vapour at a volcano.
I think it's a very fine line between vaporising and smoking.
Why is that?
Because where is that line? What's
it's
that grey area?
It's a continuum. Like, you can dial in temperature and airflow, and, you know, you can influence it how you like it.
Yeah. Where does vapour carbonise? At what point?
I've never even thought of
it. Someone must know.
There is a temperature. It's published out there because that's how they build or design the vaporizers, to know what temperature.
Yeah.
Because if it's too hot, it would
carbonize,
it would burn the weed.
Yeah.
So
I just had another idea for Oglesby and Butler.
Here we go. Niles Geek.
Because I mentioned you've got your central pin in the bowl. You have another set of pins coming down. From the bowl itself. So the heat pin is one, and on the other opposite bowl end, you've got four. You could turn a dial and adjust how high or how deep into the bowl it goes.
You'd have to extend the chamber, wouldn't you? Take the uptake.
Yeah, you'd probably have to change the mouthpiece stem, like where it slots in, make it taller there, yeah. But that would also have the other effect of allowing you to influence the temperature slightly.
Yeah.
You'd be able to have it all the way in or all the way out and anywhere in between and find your sweet spot.
Or I can get rid of the stainless steel and use ceramic. And then it takes it to another level of heating. It's a lot
have to agree
cleaner
yeah.
and
it's
easier
not
to clean.
Stainless steel, like the,
isn't it?
The heat pin's aluminium.
Okay. And you can burn that, can't you? My other one seems burnt.
Yeah?
Yeah, just from being heated and heated and heated.
Yeah, that's not good. But, yeah, they said the bowl is stainless steel. So I think the old bowls are. In fact, the bowl, I'm getting confused terminology. The bowl itself with the mouthpiece, that's stainless steel.
That's the chamber.
That's
part. But the heat pin and that surface inside, I mean, the heat pin's aluminium. The surface inside I thought was stainless, but I reckon the new ones are aluminium or something.
Yeah, anodized.
It's a continuous surface,
something.
But ceramic would be nice.
You guys have got a lot of good ideas for the vaporizer, so hopefully someone will pick them up and go, yeah, that's a fucking great idea, let's do it.
Yeah. And then they make lots and lots of money out of it.
Just need to build a crucible, have an airflow controller.
So we're into alchemy now with a crucible.
The old cannabossum recipe in the Bible.
Cannabossum recipe. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a full Latin name.
No.
As in balsam.
Ungent. Yeah. But they reckon, like, the recipe in Exodus for the holy anointing oil.
Yeah.
The context of, you know, Moses in his tent and all of that, and they would also refer when they're building the. You know, the bronze temple in the desert, I forget what it's actually called,
But they're burning incense, and they kept referring to. There's another reference, I think, about cannabis and incense, or all your incense is praising me type thing.
Yeah.
And they reckon the incense was hand pressed pollen from India, from like the Hindu Kush region. And it was people who were bringing it over. Yeah. And then that's, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, that he moved over there. And, yeah, it's a theory that he was buried. I don't know if it's true. But, yeah, like, there was a lot of trade that we don't know about. And cannabossum was the trading word for an incense. So it's not just pounds and pounds of cannabis in oil, which you pour over your head. It's pounds and pounds of hashish in oil, which you can't pour over your head.
So and by hashish, do you mean like hemp or
pollen? Pressed pollen, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think the vapor's finally gone.
Yeah.
Is it?
Either that or we're out of gas.
After about.
Well, that went for ages.
Yeah.
And it was obliterating on my mind.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I've had a sip of somebody's drink, I think.
That's right.
That's the one, yeah.
That's the alpha. You can have it.
So you know another really trippy use for cannabinol or THC. A lot of the rumours that went around the time of the witch trials.
Yeah.
And like how the whole thing came in about witches jumping broomsticks, yep. and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah. And
they used to make an ointment. Yeah.
On their brooms. Yeah,
they used to make it out of belladonna and cannabis and pigweed. And chickweed, and make a balsam, and lubricate their broomsticks, and then apply it to their
nether regions,
to their mucous membranes between their legs, and they'd take all these psychoactives into the bloodstream, and that then they thought they could fly, and that's how the whole witches flying broomsticks came about.
Yep.
There's a segue to something, but I don't know what.
There is. Lightning will have a say about the witch trials and, using the local plants as herbal remedies. A lot of the witch trials were about that, trying to stamp out.
Oh, yeah. Most of them were just midwives.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or the wise ones. Community were, you know, what they called a witch.
Yeah.
A woman who was wise.
Yeah,
with nature.
Knew something about plants. Yeah.
It's really good though, because recently with my whole connection back to nature trip that I was talking about before, I have a really lovely aloe vera plant in my kitchen. It's the best thing ever, I'll tell you what. When you get burnt, just snap a bit off, done. I don't have to buy any crappy ointments that are stinky and they burn. Or,
and they cost you money.
Yeah.
And they cost you money. And this is aloe vera that grows so happily in my kitchen window.
The more you pinch it, the more it kind of...
Yeah, it does. You know, and it looks so happy. It keeps just... But, and you can use it for hair treatments.
Could you eat one?
And, I probably would. You can make drinks out of it, but I'm sure you can make it.
So just with, like squeeze it out and you just like take the moisture out.
With cactus, so like when you raise one from a cutting and watch it grow over years and years and years, it's hard to eat because it feels like you're eating one of your children.
Yeah, right.
And so when you ingest that, it's a really special relationship because you've grown for, you know, 3 or 4 years together.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've cared for it and put your energy into it. That's why it's so deeply respectful, you know, and it's not a whimsical thing. You're not doing it just to get wasted. You know, it's something special. You know, it's a special connection.
Sorry, I was going to say, like talking about plant communication earlier.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely a relationship that you form. Yeah. It's interesting. Like you were talking about, you know, going hunting for mushrooms, that you kind of get a feel and a sense for where they probably are, or they're calling to you or something. It's like there's a relationship there, and it's you know, something's changed.
Some people say it's like the mushrooms calling to you, but for me it's more like I kind of more recognise the habitat. I know it sounds really boring, but I recognise the habitat of where mushrooms would be, plus I look around for other mushrooms. Just doesn't matter, any mushrooms, anything mouldy, anything growing on the edge of a log, and then you look around there.
Same thing, I reckon, though. That's your instinct. And what's to say your instinct isn't separated from that of nature?
True, true. And this is what I think as well.
It's
almost
synergy.
Like, I almost feel though when I'm in this feeling out process, when I'm hunting, I almost feel like I am a mushroom. And I'm thinking, where would I go that I would like and I would propagate and I would grow?
So that's like you go on a mushroom hunt and you don't find anything. You don't find anything because they don't want to be found.
Yeah,
you know, and then you can go back to the same place the next day and they're there.
Yeah, I definitely believe in that whole that they'll come to you when you're ready. Definitely. Because that's something I've always wanted to try. Like, you know, since as long as I can remember, you know, probably well, not that long, but yeah, 20-odd years or so, I've wanted to try mushrooms. But, you know, LSD scares me a little, the hysteria that they've put around that, so, you know, I'd want to read more, and I haven't done that. But mushrooms was always that kind of safe, attractive option where it was into, you know, fairyland or something. Yeah, and just, yeah, the relationship that you form.
And you've been listening to BB's Bungalow, and we're almost at the end of another show. Well, just then we were listening to a track called It Always Takes by a cool duo I stumbled upon from San Diego called Inspired Flight. That is one of my favourite tracks right now. They've got a debut album coming out on May the 1st, 2010. So, yeah, if you dig their music, you can find out more about these guys and even listen to their tracks at www.inspiredflightmusic.com. Don't forget that a new BB's Bungalow is out on the last Thursday of each and every month. You can drop me an email or send me your favourite music tracks to play to blackbeauty@dopefiend.co.uk. Thanks once again goes to Pip-Boy for his continued efforts with the podcast artwork. I'm sure you'll agree this month's artwork is especially trippy with the glass beads there. Also, thanks to Terry Kitatoka for his world music contributions, and of course a big thanks to Iolite Knight and Niall for joining us this month. Remember to tune in to next month's show on episode 32 to hear the rest of that interview. Also, in next month's show, we'll be celebrating 420 at the Bungalow. So, to those dope tribers who are lucky enough to be heading off to Amsterdam for April 20th, I wish you safe and happy travels. And if it's your first time to Amsterdam, well, you're in good hands. But for those of you who will be in Australia, don't forget to rope your mates in for a road trip to Nimbin for the annual Mardi Gras event on May 1st and 2nd of 2010. Well, as we say goodbye for another month, I'll leave you with one more track from the guys at Inspired Flight. This track is called Parasympathetic, and thanks again for joining me at BB's Bungalow on the dopefiend.co.uk podcast network.
Speaking truth to the sound. one of them funky funky.
Sometimes we get
marijuana is the bomb.